Well, let's take our Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 2, Luke chapter number 2. And I want to say I do appreciate all the kindness that's been shown to us. The church gave us a love gift for Christmas, and then also people in the church has gave us some things, and we thank you so much for that. We appreciate that so much. Thank you. And we just appreciate it from the bottoms of our hearts, and just thank you for all that you've done for us. And it don't go unnoticed. It really doesn't. And this is so good to see this good number on Christmas Eve. Amen. Thank you so much. I guess you could. Where is Deborah in here? There she is. Oh, I didn't know Candace had made it in. Oh, Colton's here. Amen. No wonder she ain't in her place. All right. No wonder. But hallelujah. And so, but anyway, Deborah's mom and her got into a little fight. Not a fight. It was a conversation that got heated. No, I'm just joking. No. Christmas, she was saying, there's no way you can have a Christmas Eve service in the morning. It's got to be at night. I don't know. We'll vote on that next year and see. But this is what we're calling our Christmas Eve service during the day. All right. And so my mother-in-law don't like it, but we're going to do it anyway. I just feel good about saying that. My mother-in-law don't like it. We're going to do it anyway. I want this on the World Wide Web. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Take your Bibles. I've got all that out now. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 2. If we can't have some fun in the house of the Lord, where can you have fun at? Amen. Oh, I hope you can laugh and enjoy and the goodness of the Lord. I'm telling you, this singing just stirred my soul, fed me today, and I thank the Lord for that. I'm going to read the Christmas story, and I think that would be very appropriate today, but I believe that's what the Lord wants me to do. And then I'm going to preach on this thought, Christmas that God brings to us. Christmas that God brings to us. And I've got some gifts from God for you today. I've brought some gifts from God. Let's read the Christmas story. Let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, help us today. Touch and work in our hearts. We need you, God. We stand where no man can stand alone. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. And I just want y'all to notice I got my Christmas suit on today. Did y'all notice that? Can you see me? Okay. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxation was first made when Cyrenius was governor over Syria, of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Won't you get that word all there? Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord have made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which was told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherd returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This morning I want to preach on the thought about God bringing Christmas to us. And this morning God wants to, you know, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's his birthday. And one thing strange about birthdays is we've got it all wrong. On birthdays, the one, and I think we parents should really think about this, on the birthday as these children gets older, you know, their presents gets more expensive. I really think it should be changed. As they get older, they should be buying us stuff. Because Jesus, when it was his birthday, he was the one that was bringing a gift to us. Amen. This morning, I want to preach on God bringing Christmas to us. I want to believe that God gave us some gifts at this Christmas time. And I brought with me a bag this morning of Christmas gifts. And I believe you'll be able to say with me and say amen to me that these gifts that Jesus Christ has brought us, that God has brought us, is truly wonderful. Can I tell you the very first gift that God brought you and I is the gift of his love. God's gift of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. We forget 1 John 3:16. How hereby perceive we the love of God? Because he laid down his life for us. Amen. He laid down his life for us. That's how we perceive the love of God. We forget the verse in John 15, in verse number 13. Greater love have no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus Christ gave his life for you and I. And it was Romans 5:5 tells us, and hope maketh not ashamed. It goes on to say, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts. The love of God. What about the love of God? The love of God. God is love. This morning, God is going to give us a gift. It's a gift of his love for you and I. The love that he has for us. Romans 8:35 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But then in verse number 39, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's talking about the same person. Remember, we learned this during the Christmas cantata, that the Bible says in John chapter 1, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among you and I. That Word that was from the beginning, that Word that was God, amen, and became flesh. And then Timothy tells us, Paul tells Timothy that, hey, great is the mystery of godliness. That what? God was manifested in the flesh. Why was he manifested in the flesh? Because God loves us. God loves you and I this morning. Thank God for his the love of God. You know, it's mentioned several times in the Word of God, the love of God is. We find it in 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says this. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. The love of God. Oh, God's love for you and I. If it wasn't for his love, you and I wouldn't even know how to love. Thank God for his love. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, and the Lord directed your hearts into the love of God. Well, I'm glad he's directed our hearts into the love of God. We find in 1 John 3:1, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Oh, what love he has bestowed upon you and I. Thank God for his love that he's bestowed upon us. That what? He can make us the children of God. What a blessing that is. Romans 5:8, but God committed his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Greater love have no man than this, that he laid down his life for what? For his friends. Oh, what a love that he has for you and I. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love, what? Wherein he loved us. I'm talking about the love of God this morning. Amen. This is a gift that has been given to you and I. Have you received this gift? Hey, this is really the meaning of Christmas. Amen. That God loved you and I so much that he was willing to give his son for us. Oh, what a blessing that is to know. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth knoweth God. Knoweth not, he that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. That's He goes on to say in verse number 9, and this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might, what? Live through him. Amen. What a blessing to know. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. Oh, well, I'm telling you, thank God for his love for you and I. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know, the Bible says that we'll be known as the disciples of God for our love one for another. Here at Philadelphia Baptist Church, we're now for 16 years, and I know many years before that, this church had a testimony that we try to love people to life. Loving people to life. Some have compassion, making a difference. Loving people to life. What a blessing it is to know that we can experience the love of God. This morning, have you ever experienced the love of God? Do you know what it is to be saved by the marvelous grace of God? Do you know what it is to have that love within you? Do you know what it is to be saved? 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed that the love of God hath to us. God is love. God is love. And in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
Thank God for the love of God, his love for you and I. Amen. I like preaching with cards. I got things wrote on the back of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the things help me get these verses. And so, God is love. It's a gift that God's gave to you and I. It's a wonderful gift. It's a miraculous gift. And it started the season of Christmas.
Yeah.
You said, preacher, where did it start? It started before time ever, before the clock ever clicked, before the birds ever flew, before the fishes ever swam. In the mind of God, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God's love for you and I, God's love for us, sent his Son to Calvary. That's why there's a Calvary.
Yeah.
Because God loved the world so much that he gave his Son. But can I tell you, there was another gift at Christmas. Not only is the gift of God's love, but the gift of God's Son.
Yeah.
And the miraculous thing here is, of course, we know that God was manifested in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus Christ loved you too.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ loving us. He said in Ephesians chapter number 5, what did he say about in Ephesians chapter number 5 about his love for you and I? He said, husbands love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
So Christ had a love for you and I. That's what sent Jesus Christ to Calvary. I say it like this, God loved us so much that he gave his Son. The Son loved us so much that he gave his life for you and I.
Amen.
No notes on this one. He gave his life, okay? For you and I. The Spirit of God loves us so much that he convicts us and convinces us. And then when we accept him, he changes us and clothes us and indwells us. Amen. All because. That's why I said it was the Christmas season started before the world ever begun. Because God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And it was all for this day. Oh, what a day. I'm not going to preach that message, but I'd love to. Oh, what a day. When we think about the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a day that God planned. It was a day that God directed. It was a day that God was pleased. It's the day where Jesus Christ died for your sins and for my sins. The Bible says about the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Jesus Christ gave his life and gave his life's blood for you and I on Calvary. Amen.
Amen.
What a blessing to know the love of God that sent us the Son of God. And then there's another gift this morning that God gives us at Christmas. It's the gift of God's forgiveness.
Amen.
That God would forgive sinners like you and I. But God commended love towards us while we was yet sinners. Christ died for us. God was willing to forgive us of our sins. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through the blood for the forgiveness of what? Sins. For the forgiveness of sins. God wanted forgiveness of our sins. That's why he sent us the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the over at cross, that our sins could be forgiven.
That's right.
Luke 23:14, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The forgiveness of sin. I want to ask you, sir, ma'am, has God ever forgave you of your sins? Well, you can't get this gift without you ask for it. So we did nothing to deserve the love of God. We did nothing to get the love of God. We didn't merit it. There was nothing that we could do to ever earn the love of God. But guess what? We can receive this gift. The only way you can take this gift is by believing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to believe that Jesus is willing to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says our sins is as filthy rags. That's our sins is as filthy rags. But God wanted to forgive us. But I'm glad, even though we use this in 1 John, it is actually a verse to Christians. But I'm glad it can also be associated with those that are sinners if we confess our sins. In the application, it is talking about you and I that are saved. When we come before God, even after we get saved, we still sin. There might be a few of us that don't, but most of us do. Amen. We sin. We fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Amen. We all fall short of the glory of God. And I'm glad as a sinner we can cry out to God and find salvation. I'm glad as a saint you and I can still accept this gift. He forgives us daily of our sins. He forgives us daily of our sin. You know, the Bible says when Jesus was here upon this earth, he healed the sick. And in the book of Mark, chapter number 2, when he told that man sick of palsy, he said that he could forgive him of his sins. And they said, wow, this man blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but what? But God.
Yeah,
and that's exactly right. Nobody can but God. Amen. And that's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto you, arise. Amen. Why? Because he had the power to forgive sin. What a gift. What a gift this morning that has the power to forgive sin. I'm thankful for this gift of forgiveness that you and I have. Matthew 18:21 said, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? No, Jesus said 7 times 70.
Yeah.
So you and I should also share this gift to others.
Right.
You and I should forgive others. Do you know our prayers can be hindered when we fail to forgive others? Our walk with God is hindered when we fail to forgive others.
Amen.
There's people sitting in this building, no doubt, with unforgiveness. And it's hindering your walk with God. It's hindering your blessings with God. Somebody has said something or somebody has done something and you just won't forgive them. They've even asked for forgiveness. Most of us use this excuse. Well, they've never asked me to forgive them, so I'm not going to forgive them. But you know we're supposed to forgive them even if they don't ask for it. But some of them's even asked for forgiveness and you still harbored it in your heart. It still comes up. And the Bible says, you know what? That hinders our prayers. The Bible says in Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their transgressions or their trespasses. Boy, this is a great gift, this gift of forgiveness. It's a great gift. Not only just for us because we get our sins forgiven, but it's great for us because we can forgive others. We need to learn how to practice this thing of forgiving. We need to learn how to practice this thing of forgiving. Some of you are hindered in your walk with God because you will not forgive others. Just think about Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, some people has hurt you and they don't even know it. There's some people you won't forgive and they don't even know they've hurt you.
Yeah.
But you know what you need to do? You need to forgive them. There's a great gift being given to us this morning, the gift of forgiveness. Well, there's another gift. It's a wonderful gift. We love this gift. It's the gift of salvation.
Amen.
Have you this morning received the gift of salvation? Is there a day, is there a place, is there a time? Not that you know exactly what that date is. At 7 years old, Reverend Shepherd Baptist Church in Stevenson, Alabama, on a Sunday morning, I received this gift. For the very first time in my life, you know what I heard? I heard a voice from another world, not an audible voice, but I knew without a shadow of doubt, Sister Betty, I knew that I was lost. I say this all the time. I knew my brother and sister was lost. They're wicked. You know, they're mean. Mom and Daddy, they're probably pretty good. They probably saved. But for the very first time, I realized that I was lost. I realized that I needed to be saved. My mother, my sister, my brother, my dad, that was all between them. But there's finally got to become a day when you got to realize whether you're saved or not. We've had people in the church that have been members of this church and later on realize that they really had never been saved. And they've got saved.
Amen.
You know you can be a lost church member. You know you can be a lost Baptist. You can be lost. Have you ever received? You say, preacher, I'm a pretty good person and I'm trying to live a good life. And that's wonderful. We love having you around. But guess what? I don't get you salvation. Say, you don't earn this gift. For by grace you say, through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of what? God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you imagine if Brother Ray could work his way to heaven? When we got to heaven, we'd have 1,000,000 years to just listen to how he got there. Amen. And then we tune in for a couple of 1,000 years ourselves. Amen. Oh, yeah. Why? Because it would be something that we earned. But so this was something that Jesus Christ paid for. This morning, my preaching is very simple, and I know it's card preaching, but I still believe that's what the Lord wants me to do, so I'm going to do it. I just wonder, have you ever accepted this gift of salvation? I wonder, could you think about tomorrow as you open up the gifts, and some open tonight, and some's already opened up. Could you think about, you know what? I've never received the gift of salvation. I've never opened it up into my heart. I don't know what it is to be saved. Now, a lot of it's because we're so in the South, and we've heard the gospel so much, and we know so much about the gospel and about God and about Jesus and about the Spirit of God and about the church. But it's not a head knowledge. It's not a head knowledge. Just because you know there's a God does not mean you're saved. Just because you know that you're a sinner does not mean that you're saved. Have you ever accepted, received this gift? Have you ever told God that you was a sinner and asked God to save you? That's what I did as a little 7-year-old boy. Guess what? It worked. It worked.
Amen.
I don't know what your salvation experience is, but I know this. It deals with this. It deals with you realizing you're a sinner and you calling out to God and asking God to save you. Because you worked out any other deal. I remember a gentleman coming working on my heating and air when I lived in Greenville, South Carolina. And we had one of those, in a mobile home, we had one of those shotgun furnaces. And so he come to work on that thing. And if you work on those, you better be right with God. But anyway, it's shotgun furnaces. And he, I asked him about it if he was, after he went to church first. He said, yeah. He said, we went here and there and different things. He kind of stumbled around. I said, well, main thing is, do you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior? And this is his exact words. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. He said this. He said, me and the old man upstairs has got it worked out. Well, I knew right then something was wrong.
Yeah.
Because God's not the old man upstairs.
Right.
And if you ever see yourself as a sinner, unholy, unrighteous, and hung over hell,
yes.
He will not be the old man upstairs. There'll be fear and holiness coming to your heart. And you realize that you're a sinner. And you realize you need to get saved. The Bible says, we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe with our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. You can have this today. You can have the gift of salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that you can have this gift? And you can be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Well, there's another gift. This gift of salvation that you and I have. When we think about this gift of salvation, you know what it does for you and I? It does something for us. It makes us righteous.
Yeah.
This gift of salvation, we put on, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might have the righteousness of God. I look pretty good in white, don't I? He's robed us. So when you get saved, you know what he does? He cleanses you.
Yeah.
Cleanses you from all your sins. Justifies you. Makes you like you just never had sinned before. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Then he claims you. Writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
The men who received him then gave him power to become what? The sons of God. Puts us in the family.
Amen.
Some of y'all wouldn't want to be in my family, but I'd like to be in some of y'all's. But, you know. But he puts you in the family, cleanses you, and guess what he does? Claims you, and he clothes you in his righteousness. God made him to be sin. He knew him about how the righteous God. I'm telling you what, he's covered us up. He's made us fit subject for heaven. And he's gave us a gift called eternal life. The Bible says that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what have everlasting life. But in John 3:15, it says eternal life.
Yeah.
Eternal life. Which is the same thing as everlasting life. John said in John 5, search the scripture for them that you may think you have eternal life, they of which testify of me. The Bible says in John 6:68, then Simon Peter answered, said, Lord, to him whom shall we go? Thou hast words of what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Oh, I'm telling you, he's made us fit subjects for heaven. He's robed us in it. When God looks down, he looks through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees us justified, cleansed, made whole, holy before him.
Amen.
John 10 says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, I'm telling you, thank God for this gift of eternal life.
Amen.
See, if it'd be sad this morning, but there's a lot of people like this. It'd be sad this morning if you think you had salvation and then you lost it.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be much of a salvation, would it? But so that's why this gift is so important. Because we get to, so all these gifts we get at one time, y'all understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
Our kid going to the Carricks, we go to, we used to go to their house. And now we've started getting together at Thanksgiving at the Smokies and Deborah and her sister and brother and her mother, they all rent a cabin. And we all stay in that cabin. And I've complained about this since I've been in the family. Deborah and Donna gets all the gifts. I'm serious. Sister Candace is here, and she gets more gifts than I get. Andrea gets more gifts. I mean, the son-in-laws usually used to get one gift. I've got it up to two, and I think this year I got three. I've been complaining, amen? But I'm glad this gift right here is a one gift fits all. Amen? But see, you could get that gift of salvation, and if you could lose it, it wouldn't be very much of a gift. But because of this gift, it's eternal. God makes us part of his family. You know, the Bible says, he that loves his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life shall gain what? Eternal life. What about that? This life that you and I have is eternal. This morning I wonder, do you have eternal life? He's gave us one more gift. If that wasn't enough, y'all not satisfied? That wasn't enough. He gave us another gift. Y'all gonna love this. He's made us kings.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Hey, things are looking pretty good for me. And it is for you too. This is what God's done for us. He gave us the gift of love. He gave us a gift of His Son dying on the cross for our sins. He gave us a gift of forgiveness. He gave us a gift of salvation. He gave us a gift of eternal life, that what you and I could rule and reign with Him. That we could go be as He is. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I wonder, have you accepted the gift today? Have you accepted the gift today? Do you know without a shadow of doubt this Christmas season that Jesus Christ lives in you? Hey, it's no wonder that so many gifts are given at Christmas time. Why? Because that's the reason for Christmas. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came that you and I could be saved. That He could give us the gift of salvation. That's why Christmas is here. And the world, oh yes, made it all about gifts to us. To one another. But the truth is, it's God's bringing Christmas to you and I. It's God giving us gifts. It's God giving us gifts. This morning, the only thing God wants of you is your heart. And what He wants to do for you looks pretty good, don't it? Man, I kind of feel like a little royalty. Man, I feel a little important. I feel like somebody has done something great for me. And there has. I've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much as we look at this time of year. It's come all again, full circle already. And God, as we anticipate spending time with family and friends, Lord, and enjoying the season, God, I pray You'd help us as we stop for a minute, as we give gifts and receive gifts, to remember that the greatest gift we ever have given or ever received was Jesus Christ. God, I pray You'd help us as we go through all the traditions that we have as a family, to go do all the things, places we go, just to remember that we can celebrate Christmas because Christ came for us. Amen. God, as we go from here, keep us safe, Lord, that we'd be able to return Wednesday, Lord, just as joyful with all the things that You've given to us, as we heard this morning, in Jesus' name.